Hi, welcome to today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman, and the Seahawks played on Thursday night, and so it was a Seahawk-less Sunday in the NFL. The Seahawks beat the Packers on Thursday Night Football, and they were able to observe the rest of the NFC, watch how things were able to shake out. And it was a really positive Sunday in terms of results for the Seahawks. And we'll get into that in the rest of the show. But before we do that, we'll do a quick intro. I'm Grant Goldberg. I co-host this Locked On Seahawks podcast. And I do social media and graphic design work for SB Nation's Lakers site. And Spike is a writer with The Stranger. Spike, how was it without the Seahawks on Sunday? It was kind of like a mini bye week, so not only for the Seahawks, but for us as well. So, you know, how did you enjoy your Sunday?
I actually watched more football than I expected to. It was a kind of fun day, a lot of really close results that impacted the Seahawks. And then I'm increasingly of the opinion, and we probably won't talk about them because they're not really relevant to the Seahawks in any meaningful way, but I'm increasingly of the opinion that the Saints are, even with the two teams playing tonight in Los Angeles, Kansas City, that the Saints are the most fun team in the NFL right now. Mm-hmm. There's just something about the way that they are playing in that, like the Chiefs, who we will play later this year, the Rams, we've seen a bunch. They generate so much from their offensive packages, their scheming, all that. The Saints are just like better. They're just like better than you. They just come out, they're like, oh, we have better players at the most important positions. And so it's just really fun to watch like Drew Brees and Michael Thomas, where Michael Thomas is double covered on every play, still go for 90 plus yards, and then Drew Brees gashed the Eagles. I mean, I don't know. So I ended up watching a lot of that game, even though it was a blowout. Just because I'm enjoying watching the Saints right now. And, you know, Seahawks won't have to play them for a long time. But they might get to play them. I think there is a world in which the Seahawks play the Saints. So, yeah, maybe we should get into why we think that.
Yeah. Grant. Yeah. So the Seahawks, they went into Thursday Night Football with, you know, the same thing as, you know, the past couple weeks, in that, you know, their playoff chances depended kind of heavily on the result of the game. And the Seahawks took care of business. They showed that, you know, even down 11 when the game started, that they weren't really they didn't waver during the game at all. And I think that's a big trait in playoff teams, that they're just kind of steady. They don't really fall into any concerns, and you know, they come back, score, and then ended up outscoring the Packers. What was it? 24 to 11 during the rest of the game. And so, you know, they show the confidence and the ability to, you know, go into these big games and get the result they needed. And I think that's big for a couple reasons, because of the schedule that they have coming up, especially true against the Panthers this Sunday, because, you know, the Panthers lost during this weekend without the Seahawks. They lost to the Detroit Lions, a team that the Seahawks beat in Detroit. And now the Seahawks can go into Carolina and jump the Panthers in the playoff standings. And I think knowing that going into the game is going to do wonders for the confidence. They know the scale of which the game is on. But, you know, I think that just adds a little bit of extra motivation going into Sunday.
Yeah, So in terms of, like, steadiness, I wouldn't actually call the Seahawks team particularly, like, steady. I don't know. They've gotten beat pretty badly, like, late by good teams this year. I mean, they blew leads against the Rams twice. That they were able to come back against the Packers is obviously really good. It really helps that Mike McCarthy coached the hell out of that game for us, which was, like, lovely. And Ron Rivera is not going to do that. Like, Riverboat Ron makes mistakes, but, like, not the way Mike McCarthy does. That's what makes him Riverboat Ron. You could see that in the Panthers' loss to the Lions. They lost because they missed a two-point conversion at the end that was, frankly, wide open. Newton just missed the throw. And so for me, I'm like, well, it's certainly good. To me, it's more important that the Panthers struggled against the Lions team that, frankly, is terrible. That's more important than the end result in terms of my confidence going into this game. Like, the Panthers genuinely struggled to stop the Lions running attack. Kerryon Johnson, when healthy in that game, was dominant. We obviously know what the Seahawks are going to do. They're going to run the ball an uncomfortable amount in that game. The fact that the Panthers, who in the past have had an incredible run defense, no longer do is great. The fact that they lost the game and we can get a playoff spot from them, that's great too. But I think it's more that the way this Panthers team is constructed is a little different than the way the other Panthers teams we've played in the past have been constructed. That gives me hope in this game. I really think that, I'm not as worried about them getting action to their tight end. Like, there's just a bunch going on that's a little different. That said, like, Austin Calitro and Christian McCaffrey is a nightmare. Like, there are a bunch of nightmare matchups for us. DJ Moore against Trey Flowers could be a problem. There's a bunch in this that makes me nervous, but I really think the fact that the Panthers defense showed against Detroit that they're not an elite run defense unit is exciting to me.
I think that just the thing that I'm looking towards in this Sunday's game against the Packers, even if the Seahawks get down, they'll be able to come back. We saw the same thing almost happen when they got up big on the Buccaneers and they allowed Ryan Fitzpatrick to make it a really close game. They go into Pittsburgh and they lay an egg and then they go and lose to the Detroit Lions. I was really worried about this game going in that first half against the Buccaneers a couple weeks ago, and then everything happened to which I wouldn't say I completely flipped. I still think it's going to be a very tough game for the Seahawks to go and win at 10 a.m. cross country, but the concern, the gloom and doom surrounding this game is almost non-existent now. I think the Seahawks have a really good chance to win. But I'm a lot more confident in seeing how the Panthers played over the last few weeks, not just against the Detroit Lions, who, like you said, are bad. I think
They got shelled by the
I
Steelers. They
think the
gave up like
Steelers
50 points.
are a beatable team. They're a really good team, but they're a beatable team. And that was just an absolute stinker of a performance. And then when you allow the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to make it a really close game at the end, there's a lot of hope going into this game. Now, I'm not going to say no, it's a lock that the Seahawks win. Now, I think it could very much go wrong for them, but I just think that there's not nearly as much doubt going into this game as there was before.
Yeah, and just to put a bow on this, I was talking about that the Panthers defense, 24th in DVOA heading into a game where they got run all over by Detroit, who was 19th in offensive DVOA, so they might fall even further. And you just don't think about that from Carolina. They've got a top 10 offense, but they've got a bottom 10 defense right now. And this game, if the Seahawks win this game, they are in great shape. They would literally just need to beat the Niners twice and the Cardinals to get to 9-7 with the tiebreaker over Carolina. That's huge. That is a great place to be. Carolina still has to play the Saints twice. Like, we would not necessarily have to beat either the Chiefs or the Vikings if we were to win this game this weekend. But we should take a quick break and then talk about those Vikings and a couple other NFC potential bogeys for the Seahawks coming up. We'll be back right after this Locked On Seahawks, Locked On Podcast Network.
Ever since we started this podcast, people love to ask who's going to win. And to be honest, we don't know. We would like to know, but we don't. And if you do think that you know who's going to win, you got to check out my bookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why we always tell people to bet with my bookie. Trust us, they are your best bet this season. They've been in the business for years, they have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. You got to lay down some cash and win big today. I would only recommend a service that is good to our listeners, and that's good to us. I've used my bookie, Spike has used my bookie, and we've had no complaints about it. And they have live in-game betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet on the over/under on how many fantasy points a player will score in each game. And so join now, and MyBookie will match your first deposit dollar for dollar. Enter the code locked on to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. My bookie. And we are back with more Locked On Seahawks on the Locked On Podcast Network. You are still with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. And we last left you talking about the Panthers game, but we're going to look ahead a little bit in the schedule and look back on what happened on Sunday. And we mentioned the Vikings, and I think that's where we'll start. They lost to a really good Chicago Bears team, but I think the final score doesn't indicate how much better the Bears were than the Vikings last night, and that gave me a lot of confidence. And another thing that gives me a lot of confidence is the fact that it's on Monday Night Football in Seattle, and so we get to see primetime Kirk Cousins against the Seattle Seahawks, and that's big for the Seahawks. Kirk Cousins, for whatever reason, cannot perform in primetime games. Not saying that the Seahawks are going to have an easy win, but I think that's another game that looked a lot tougher on the schedule earlier in the season, and now you look at it and it's kind of a lot more favorable for the Seahawks.
Yeah, it looked like a nightmare on the schedule coming into the season. The Vikings have so much talent on defense, and we didn't know about the Seahawks offensive line. But to me, that is the big story here. It's like you think about like the Sheldon Richardson revenge game. You think about all the guys they have up front in Minnesota, and then you remember, oh yeah, the Seahawks are not bad on the offensive line anymore. DJ Fluker held up really well against Green Bay. Green Bay got theirs against us, but that's a very good pass rush in Green Bay. In fact, a higher rated pass rush than Minnesota. And also, just as like to tap the brakes a second, that division, oh my God, the pass rushes in that division, and we've had to play all of them, are insane. We were lucky enough to avoid Detroit with Ziggy Ansah at full strength, and obviously they just brought in Snacks Harrison. But man, that division is just loaded with D-line guys, and it's a fortunate thing for the Seahawks that they are no longer terrible up front. That Vikings team is questionable. They're just questionable. Dalvin Cook was able to do nothing against the Bears defense. It's really good. And also, the Bears being this good recontextualizes that early season loss. The fact that the Broncos went out and beat the Chargers. Yeah, we lost to the Chargers, but we lost to the Broncos. And we're like, oh boy, what a terrible loss. And the Broncos went out and beat the Chargers. This Seahawks team is not bad. And again, like, that Broncos Chargers result doesn't affect us going forward in any meaningful way. But it's just a sign that, like, especially this offense is shockingly good. Given, again, coming into the season, that offensive line, those weapons, that Brian Schottenheimer, that pick on a running back instead of a wide receiver at the end of the first round, or another offensive lineman, or a defensive lineman. Look, there are a lot of things they could have done there. But I mean, it's a good unit. It was 11th in DVOA coming into this week. I can only assume it's going to be higher than that because they beat a Green Bay team that was an above average defense. Like I don't know, man. Like this is exciting. And I was looking at it this weekend. Seattle is the only team to be top 11 in all three phases of the game. Now, they top 11 sort of arbitrary, and they are 11, 10, 11 if you go across offense, defense, special teams. But it is a thing of like, I'm not afraid of anybody because we're good at everything, but I'm also afraid of everybody because we're not great at anything. But really, the Vikings showing, especially on offense, that they can be crushed by a good defense, that's great news. And then again, the fact that their defensive line is the strength of their unit, the backside of their defense is still not playing as well as we thought they would. Harrison Smith is not playing as well. Anthony Barr is playing badly. Their cornerbacks are okay right now, but again, the back of that defense looked like it would be fierce, and it's like fine. So for me, looking at that moment, like looking at that game coming up, as you said, in prime time, that really the Seahawks just need to win either that game against the Panthers or the game against the Vikings, given that they've already got a tiebreaker over the Cowboys and they'll be in great shape.
Yeah, and to quote one of my favorite GIFs to use on Twitter, why not both?
I mean, both they're in. Like both they're in, and they could potentially like lose one on a Richard Sherman revenge game, which is obviously the nightmare scenario that we are staring down. Is like Sherm gets like three picks against us in one of those games, and we drop an easy one. But
Hey man, no, you never know what could happen, but yeah.
Although I will say, man, that Oakland Arizona game over the weekend, we can just write off like Arizona won that, but like what a matchup of just trash men. Like just trash teams. Ugh.
Oh, I know. It was an absolute stinker. To use that. Oh no, the Raiders won. The Raiders beat the
Oh,
Cardinals.
they did. They won by. Oh my God. So yeah. So Arizona is maybe the worst team in the league. The fact that they played us close once, I don't think they'll do that again. It's those Niners games that are the bogeys for us.
Yeah.
Because you just never know what you're going to get out of quarterback from them. They have Richard Sherman. The rest of their defense is bad, but we could have like a penalty game and, you know, have it come down to some late nonsense. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a game that was shocked for Sunday Night Football, but got flexed out of it. I think it's just an afternoon game now in Seattle. And you,
That's fair. It
yeah.
should have been flexed out. Like, Jesus.
Yeah, I think that was the widespread expectation. I think the moment Jimmy Garoppolo went down, and we're gonna recontextualize another loss, the
Oh, wait, hold
Cowboys.
on. Before we do that, can I just say about Jimmy Garoppolo
Oh,
that
okay.
I put this on Twitter. He was going to be Seahawks Twitter's new David Carr or Andrew Luck. And now Andrew Luck is too good and David Carr, or Derek Carr is too bad. And now we don't have a guy to hate enough, and it's too bad because it would have been Jimmy Garoppolo. That was
I
all.
you know what? I think, and I don't know if it's crazy for me to say it, I think Aaron Rodgers is becoming that guy.
I get that, but like Aaron Rodgers is too good. Like Aaron, like hey, like being like, I guess it is, but it's like Aaron Rodgers is declining more quickly than the rest of the world sees is less potent to me. Like Aaron Rodgers is becoming that guy because Jimmy Garoppolo is not there to be throwing a ton of picks but still getting called a golden boy in our division. You know what I mean? Like Jimmy Garoppolo was perfect to play that role. And Aaron Rodgers is a bad facsimile of that role.
I think if Aaron Rodgers sustains this kind of play over the next year or couple of years, I think it'll be a little more warranted. But if he continues to decline and gets hurt or something like that, I think the Seahawks are still going to be searching for that guy. Or
Yeah.
Seahawks Twitter is going to be searching for that guy, forgive me. But I wanted to talk about the Cowboys too, because
Yeah.
they beat Atlanta, keeping another team a little further out of the playoff race. And that's a Cowboys team that has gone on the road and won in Philadelphia, won in Atlanta, and can, you know, take first place in the division this Thursday against Washington. I think that defense is playing a lot better.
Their defense is really good.
They're finding the rhythm on offense. They're running everything through Ezekiel Elliott, which, you know, we can't fault them because, you know, he had another game where he was over 200 yards from scrimmage. They've presented a lot of problems for these teams when they go and face them on the road. And the Seahawks were able to, you know, get a good win against them. Like they got a little sweaty in the fourth quarter, but that was a game where they led wire to wire, and, you know, there wasn't really ever any doubt that they were going to win. And
Yeah.
I think also, you know, going forward, if they win against the Panthers, win against the Vikings, that we can go back to that. I don't know how you felt about this hashtag, but hashtag leave no doubt. I think we can go ahead and bump that up again if they get this win against the Panthers this Sunday. That's my lame dad idea of the
Yeah.
week. But yeah, I think that the Seahawks are in really good shape. This Sunday helped them out a ton. The
So
Vikings
much.
lost, the Panthers lost,
I mean,
the Falcons lost.
you don't ever want to root for this, but man, that Alex Smith injury helps too.
Yeah.
Like, it's I you never I like that was un, A, it was just an unbelievable thing to happen that it happened on the anniversary of Theismann's injury and that the final score was the same as the Theismann game is like the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen in my life. But and it's just horrifying and for Alex Smith, it sucks. He finally found a place that like wanted him, and
Yeah.
he should be back next year. You know, he's a quarterback. But like, man,
Joe Theismann was
also,
there too.
oh, yeah, it's just like that. The NFC East is bad. Like the Eagles got just shellacked by the Saints. Like that game was not as close as the final score indicated, and they lost by over 30. Like the Saints could have run it up. That's 2 weeks in a row the Saints have been able to play Teddy Bridgewater significant minutes. Like, Saints team, man, they're frisky. They're frisky. But yeah, the NFC East is not a factor. The NFC North is not looking as fierce as we would have feared. It's too bad that Green Bay and Minnesota tied, because I think we're going to end up with a tiebreaker over both of them, but it won't matter. And then, yeah, I mean, this game against Carolina, win it, and the Seahawks are in the catbird seat. Lose it, they're not eliminated. And the great thing is we haven't had to mention the Chiefs. Chiefs are right now the best team in football by DVOA. We haven't had to mention them. We still have to play them,
Yeah.
and we don't have to win that game. Like that's a game we can just like lose. And as I said earlier this year, we match up well against the Chiefs. Chiefs are bad at run defense. Chiefs, like, well, that's pretty much it. But like there isn't a ton there. Their defense is like bad but not terrible, which we thought it might be terrible. So, it's they're a scary team, but like we could play them like we played the Rams and be effective. So anyway, I'll say I like where we are at right now. Grant.
All right, I'll leave this segment with one thing, because we're gonna keep this show a little shorter. If the Seahawks are able to go in and beat the Chiefs, given with the way they play the Rams this year, I think that game can change the tune nationally surrounding the Seahawks, and a lot of people will be flipped, and a lot of people are gonna say, "Oh, Russell Wilson's really great, the running game's really great, the defense is still great," and that's not the way they've been talking about them this year. We've had people, expect them to get the first overall pick was just ludicrous from the start. And then people were just down on their playoff hopes. And I think the Seahawks are in really good shape right now, but if they beat the Chiefs, we'll start to hear people talking about the Seahawks as a dark horse Super Bowl contender. And for reasons that, they can play the Rams tough, they can beat the Rams. I think that this Seahawks team has shown that. The Saints are the team that I'm worried about. They've just shown an ability to dominate teams and look kind of effortless in doing that. But, I think that they'll garner a lot of respect and attention, rightfully so, if they beat the Chiefs. That's just what I expect to happen. I don't expect the Seahawks to go out and dominate, but, if they can pull out and get the result, then, that's another thing that'll help their playoff chances. But yeah, I really like where the team's at right now. Obviously, Sunday's a big game, but we'll talk a little bit more about the playoffs and a little bit more about everything else surrounding the league after this break. So stay tuned for more Locked On Seahawks on the Locked On Podcast Network. And we are back with the final portion of today's show of the Locked On Seahawks podcast, and you're still with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. I wanted to just take a second to ask you, Spike. If there's I mentioned the term dark horse. If there's kind of a dark horse player that's led the Seahawks team to becoming this playoff contender that doesn't really get national attention for it, who would you say that it is?
I think it's got to be someone on that offensive line. And in terms of national attention, I think people are aware of Dwayne Brown. And, Fetty and Britt are what they are. I think it's DJ Fluker. And I don't think that's a dark horse to Seahawks fans. He's obviously been incredible this year. But his ability to implement what Schottenheimer and Carroll want to do in the run game, for me, that is what is transforming this team quietly. And I feel like the national media is starting to pick up on the fact that the Seahawks are not bad and that they're, but that their run offense is as effective as it is in 2018. Comes down to that offensive line, and for me, it comes down to Fluker inside road grading. Who's your dark horse?
It's another guy who's played really well, and a lot of Seahawks fans are aware of him. But I'm gonna go with Jarran Reed.
Yeah.
He's just been a legitimately great player for the Seahawks on the defensive line, a place where they had a lot of question marks. He's really been the anchor for it. He's playing at a Pro Bowl level, and it's eliminated a lot of the concern that we had. I think that it's a reason why the Seahawks were able to kind of play that release and hope to re-sign game with Tom Johnson, which was still, I think, a bad move. But he's shown the ability to be that number one guy on the defensive line on the interior. And when you pair that with a guy like Frank Clark, and when he's healthy, Deion Jordan, I think that you have a legitimately, good three-man lineup in that defensive line. Now, whether we're going to get steady production from the outside, we don't know, but Jarran Reed's been that steady force on the inside for the Seahawks.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll just say, like, so all the optimism in this podcast, all the good things, everything we said, boy, is the question our pass defense going forward. How are these safeties going to grow into their roles? Is Tedrick Thompson going to step up? Because to me, that is, when I look at this team, that's the difference between the Seahawks team making the playoffs and not, even with their advantageous positioning right now. How is this pass defense going to do? So that's like my dark horse question mark for the team going forward.
Yeah, and I'm not even gonna say a dark horse question mark for me, but we just you gotta hope to stay healthy.
Yeah,
We
fair.
the Seahawks have had a good amount of luck with injuries this year, and I think that with the exception of Earl and KJ, for the most part the team's been healthy. That's allowed them to run the ball like they've been able to sustain the level of play on defense even without Earl. You gotta hope for that. You gotta, find a piece of wood next to you, knock on it, and hope for the best because, health is a big thing going into the playoffs if you don't have that really good amount of depth that the Seahawks teams in the past have had. And so you need to rely on those first unit guys to be healthy. And luckily the Seahawks team has been able to do that this year, and hopefully going forward, if they make it into the playoffs, they're able to take a healthy team into there.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, I think that does it for today. We are going to get in deep this week to this huge matchup in Carolina. We'll have shows. We'll have a crossover show Wednesday. We'll have two more preview shows over the course of the week. So stay tuned for that. You guys should be checking out what's on the Locked On NFL feeds on Instagram, Twitter. There's really good stuff out there. Locked On NBA is putting out a bunch of great stuff. Locked On College, all over the network, there's great stuff. And if you ever want to ask us a question, leave a 5-star review or a 4 or 2-star review. We'll still answer those, but leave a 5-star review. Come on, be cool. Be a total chiller and be nice. Yeah, I think that does it for today's show. Grant, I forget anything?
I don't know, just reach out to us on Twitter, but
Oh,
if you
yeah.
I mean that's easy for you guys to do. So I'm gonna give you guys a challenge. Go to Apple Podcasts and reach
That's
out to
hard.
us. It's a little bit of a step up in competition. Like that's going from like the Cowboys to playing the Panthers or I don't know. But go to Apple Podcasts. That's what's important. Leave that review and ask us questions or any concerns. Yeah, put it there. So I think that does it. So for the Locked On Seahawks podcast, I'm Grant Goldberg signing off.
And I'm Spike Friedman, also signing off.